This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and good evening. Welcome back to the Hold On Guys podcast. I am your host, and just a reminder, the tallest member of the group, Roy. Today, I am joined by Dayton, John, and Jordan. Jordan, welcome to your first time on the podcast. Would you like to tell our listeners, who you are and give everyone a little background information?
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. My name is Jordan Jensen. I'm a drummer from Tampa, Florida. I now live in Austin, Texas. I love it here. Barbecue is one of my favorite things on the planet. And thankfully, I don't have to drive more than 5 minutes without hot meat, so God bless them. I've got a YouTube channel, Jordan Jensen Drums. I've been on and off the road, in and out of the studio for quite some time, and just really happy to be in good conversation with some big brain individuals that know longer words than I do. So cheers, boys. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Just like every other night that we do this thing, I just want to say, hey, everyone, and welcome. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to share? Highs, lows, complaints, grievances, or jubilations that you'd like to start off the night with?
I guess thought is that you're not the tallest one of the group again. I don't know how many times
it's begin.
V's not here to experience that. V's not here to experience that, but I wrote that specifically for him and I to laugh about.
Well done, silly man. Well done.
Look, until we're together again in person, like, you can't really dispute that. I mean, it's just your words against mine.
Cool. It turns out then you also can't dispute.
I mean, I guess, I'll just edit out your argument.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can do that.
Hold on, guys. I actually have a thought here.
Yes.
I don't know how many of you are on dating apps and such. I am, because I'm a polyamorous person. And let me tell you, I have to say that the percentage of profiles that have something along the lines of will not ride under 6 feet tall, that sort of sentiment, and there being a height requirement for dating, I think that's ridiculous. I don't understand that.
How tall are you, John? I forget.
I am a 5'8 person. So this is probably part of the reason why I feel particularly aggrieved, because I am a short king.
It is bullshit. I will agree with that 100%. Yeah, it's...
So my wife and I met on a dating app. We met on Bumble. Shout out to Bumble. Sponsor us. I do remember that I had my height in the how tall are you section, but in my bio they only give you 50 characters or 60 characters, whatever it is. So you have to try and cram limited, as much possible into that little area. So if I waste time saying I'm 6'4", then that's space I could have put something else in.
Right.
No one looks at the fucking bio and how tall are you? I'm like, it's right there. You just look. I get that. Well, in the spirit of that, not reading, it's
amazing how many times I've matched with someone who I'm very openly polyamorous. And they're like,
yeah.
Wait, you're not monogamous? And I'm like, that's right there.
Polyamorous is available to me. Word.
That is true. More than monosyllabic is too much for our current education system. I don't know. I guess I would ask, what do you think are green flags on like non-negotiables on a dating website, on a profile, or even just with like a person you meet to be a new friend or something like that? Because that's also something that exists now on social media and other websites like Meetup. I've gone to Meetup events just to find fellow people in my city who like chess or board games or movies and things. What are like red flag things, which for me is like, we'll only date someone this tall, or like a very specific physical thing about someone, as opposed to green flags. For example, one I find to be completely understandable is like, will not date someone who does not regularly get tested for STDs. Like, that's a reasonable green flag in my eyes. It actually is like a, you care about sexual health beyond just the sexiness of sexy times.
Ooh. It has been so, sorry.
It's been three married people.
Damn it.
So, this is what I think about the dating scene right now. What with my experience of nothing.
Riveting content, folks.
I'm trying to think of like green flags and red flags for dating sites.
Red flag would be if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Yes, that's a bad phrase. But also, like, if they spend their entire bio just listing out things that they don't want.
Yes.
As opposed to like, well, now I know nothing about you. Or even worse, a completely blank bio. And then you go to message them and like, hey, how's it going? Good. Like, okay, here we go. You know, just like bullshit like that. I can't stand that.
Jordan, any thoughts, RE? If I may ask, how did you meet your partner? And what was something that stood out as a green flag to you of, I want to spend more time getting to know this person?
Yeah, so I admittedly am terrified of dating apps. I've never used them, never wanted to use them. And I'm surrounded by friends that you would think they're playing Pokemon Go as much as they're fucking swiping on these things, which it's entertaining to see them do it. I'm good. So for my partner and I, she actually reached out to me on Instagram, which is really cool. I'll say, looking for green flags, because I definitely, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. I know what red flags are. I'll say a lot of green flags are just knowing the company that you keep is a very telling sign about you. She has an incredible relationship with her entire family. She has an amazing circle of friends. She's an incredible mother. Very well regarded in all, you know, in all of her surrounding areas, like in a career path, in a social path. Wherever she goes, it turns to gold. We'll put it that way. And that's not me just kissing her ass, even though that's so much fun to do. But, you know, just knowing someone's reputation and seeing, again, you are the company that you keep. And, you know, there's tendencies when you start having communication with someone or, you know, like I'll kind of derail a little bit and say, like, for me as a musician, if I go to jam with a band and there's the bass player that shows up with a six pack of beer, I'm like, wow, six beers, six fucking beers. We're doing this. You're going to learn with that. Okay, cool. I'm down to drink after, but all right, cool. You're clocking into your shift.
Like they're actively drinking while they're trying to learn new music and jam.
Right. Like that to me is.
That's how the brain works.
I thought you meant six pack for afterwards, and that's not enough for the band. Okay, no, sorry.
No. Hey, fellow musician here, I know how ridiculous we could be.
Yeah, fair.
It's like if you're, you know, coming in and walking around, hey, bro, you want a beer? Hell yeah, I'll take a beer. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's very considerate. Thank you. But you're just walking by yourself with a gas station plastic bag and, you know, probably Bud Light because they're dumb and cheap. It's one of those like, oh, great.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Okay, I'm going to assume you need to borrow a cable too, huh? Great. but... you know, as far, again, so I have no experience and unfortunately nothing to contribute on the profile part of it, but I can say for looking for green flags, you are the company that you keep. And, yeah, this woman is just surrounded by beauty and she also creates it herself. And, it was a very easy thing to latch on to just because she is a sweetheart. And then also seeing, you know, all of her friends are nice.
Yeah.
Her family's nice. Everyone she works with is like, this woman's incredible. I'm like, I'm a Neanderthal. Why is she talking to me? I don't deserve her. This is incredible, but I'm just going to say thank you. I love you, and I'm very grateful.
I have to jump in here because I've known Jordan for, oh God, more than a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just go with that. And wait, Jordan's always been very hard on himself, you know, with phrases like, oh, I'm a Neanderthal and da 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 da. And, like, I would be remiss if I did not point out in a, well, semi-live, semi-public forum that that is just an absolute crack of shit. Like, you are not a Neanderthal. So, like, you know, in the spirit of green flags, I think a green flag for yourself is to not be as self-deprecating in relation to your partner, because I know that I do this with my wife as well. Like, people will say like, oh, she's so pretty, she's so gorgeous, and I'm like, yeah, she's a goddess, and I'm happy just to exist in her orbit. And like, I know that she does not appreciate it when I say stuff like that. And I guess it's just hard sometimes to like, I view myself as the reacher, and she's the settler. And, like, you know, if we're using colloquial terms like that.
I'm interested by that. I gathered the meaning immediately. Someone's reaching up towards something.
Right.
Someone is settling for something else. But I've never actually heard those phrases before. Is that, like, a pretty common...
I don't know. I got it from How I Met Your Mother, which for all intents and purposes, Ted is the worst character on that show.
Worst character in fiction, I think.
That's like basing your relationships off of Friends or something. Like,
right. Well, I think Ross and Ted could have a competition on who's the worst main character on the show. But like, they had a whole episode, you know, around like who's the reacher and who's the settler. Like, the settler being that they could have, you know, had someone quote as good or better than them,
like, and of everyone in the group,
right? Or just like in life, you know, like they had the, like, you know, they could have chosen another, you know, let's say, you know, like, to use you know, numbers, like they could have chosen another 10, but they settled for a 4, or however you want to like quantify it, you know.
That reminds me of the comedian Taylor Tomlinson, where she where she has like a whole joke about like someone being like chocolate and the other person being like raisin or something.
Yes.
Chocolate raisin? No, that doesn't go well together.
Yeah, you could have had peanut butter, but you settled for raisin. I saw her like, live, and she is just as hilarious live as she is, like, you know, on TV.
Dude, that's fantastic. I'm so upset that they decided to stop doing At Midnight.
I thought she stopped. She decided to stop doing it.
Yeah, essentially. Focus on so she could continue doing stand up that monster.
Right. Yeah. How dare she? So actually, this
was
is
she the host of At Midnight after what's his face left?
Well, so they kind of took the inspiration. You're thinking of Chris Hardwick, and they took the inspiration of that show, but it was kind of like repackaged and produced by like Stephen Colbert, and they kind of like did a new-ish direction with it to be a little bit more of the times. But that's how I viewed it. I didn't see like their whatever paper that they wrote for getting it done. But yeah, still, so, I enjoyed it.
Actually, I had a topic in my list of topics, ideas, in case we didn't come up with anything. And I think this would be a really good segue into that topic. So shifting from good green flags for like, you know, in other words, finding other people, what makes a good partner a good partner? And to take it one step further, what do you, so you know, us individually, what do you think makes you a good partner for your partner?
Direct communication.
Absolutely.
Like, I hate that it's such a fucking cliche.
No, it's not a cliche at all. It's just not like, even close.
Being able to be very direct and honest with someone, like, it's, but at the same time, kind of, like, knowing, like, not to be, how do you say, a dick? Like, like, there, it's having a, it's a fine line into, like, know that with your partner, I think is, very, very advantageous.
Well, I think there's also like an element of authenticity to it, right? Because if you're a genuine person, you have clear communication, you also listen to understand, you don't listen to respond, then in that relationship, you know, whether it's starting, whether it's you're just in the, you know, beautiful butterflies and la la land of engagement, or you're just settling into marriage, or you're 10 years down the road, it's like, as long as you are you, you're who they know you to be. You know who you are. You know how to communicate. You know what they're saying. You know, when you're on the couch and there's one foot hanging out from under the blanket, you know that's either a sign of they're cold or whatever that nonverbal is. It's being able to know what they're saying and also know what you are saying as well. And having, again, that authenticity to where if you're just being your true self and you know their true self, then you can trust and be able to act on it as well. And it's just kind of like peanut butter and jelly. You're going together because it's perfect, but you also exist on your own and it works as well.
I had something to say. I was going to piggyback off of what Dayton said. And, so like I'm on Reddit and I, subscribe to Our Marriage, and the amount of posts that I see that the answer is always, did you talk to your partner? Is like, it's insane. Just like, well, I don't know. Like, you know, my partner did this and it made me feel this way. And I just don't know.
Then fucking like, tell what him. To stop say. Typing.
Like, exactly. Like you could just tell them. Like, did you tell them? Yeah. Stop asking strangers for advice and just go fucking talk to them. Like, how is this so hard?
Or get a therapist. And, therapists rule. That's an amazing tool. God. And there's nothing like, there's, I don't understand how in 2025, when I tell people I have a therapist, they're like, wait, seriously, you? And I'm like, yeah. What do you mean? I'm a dad. Like, I need mental health. Like, there's clarity I can't just get from Googling things or listening to a podcast because I'm not contributing to that. That's a play button in a pause button, all right? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I didn't get this.
Hold on there. Don't be saying the podcasts aren't the answer to our lovely listeners. So you're solving all your problems today.
Yes,
this
exactly.
This is the podcast. I'm talking about every single other one out there. That's
yes.
That,
oh, okay, you know. Good.
Right, right. Present company not included.
Right, that's different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, wait, like you're in the Austin area, you said?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wow, yeah, no, you're really surrounded by the crazy podcast.
Hold on, guys. Austin update. Has there been an influx of divorced men to see the comedy mothership?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
No, I don't know, but it is very popular in comedy. Stand-up comedy is huge in Austin, which I guess leads to a lot of depressed, lonely individuals. So, yes.
Well, yeah,
Eric, hey, South by Southwest over there.
I understand that feeling.
I'm dead and done, unfortunately, yes.
Sorry, what was that?
South by Southwest for 2026 is going to have no music. So it's pretty much dead and done now because the tech industry just kicked it in the balls.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Okay, I got to learn more about this. So
sad. That was like our Edinburgh.
Yeah,
I discovered Austin because of South by Southwest. That's why I fell in love with this city.
Yeah. If I may ask, is the broader music scene in Austin also in trouble, or is that doing well?
Austin is still a music city. It's not like the music capital like it used to be. I think Nashville has pretty much taken that. And thankfully, Nashville is now the bachelor and bachelorette party capital of the country because everyone's tired of coming here, and I'm pretty stoked about it, and so is the traffic. But yeah, the tech industry and the stand-up comedy have pretty much overrun a lot of what was music and entertainment here in Austin.
Oh, I see.
And I mean that as in, like, I'm crusty because I'm a drummer. I don't get paid to play gigs because they'd rather book a comedy show that no one wants to go to as opposed to any band I play with, and you will clap for me. And it's it blows my mind. Like, I love comedy.
Well, that's fascinating.
Roy and I bonded over stand-up for years. And, you know, there's a lot of elements to it, you know, 10 years ago that were great, where now it's like, you have a phone, you're not a comedian, you're just high on TikTok. Calm down. And people moved to Austin, and they have this ego to them, and I'm over it, man. It's awful.
Has the stand-up scene also change the improv scene, because I know that's a really strong part of Austin too.
I was a big improver. I actually hosted a lot of improv shows in high school, so that's a big passion of mine. And coming out here and seeing the
Hunter in my undergrad formed our improv troupe at my school, and he was from Austin, talked laudedly about the incredible improv scene down there, especially a lot of the long form creative improv that was being done around like a theme every night, or, you know, ongoing characters, sort of like a Pee Wee's Playhouse sort of thing. And that fascinates me to no end, because in St. Louis there's some improv scene, but obviously with Chicago being relatively close by, that's where people want to be.
Yep.
Austin seems to be a regional like hub for that. Has the improv scene changed along with all of the tech influence and stand-up influence
Absolutely.
Being kind of adjacent?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a lot of things come back and to see a lot of things change. And, you know, not to be curmudgeon-y, but it's not the way I remember it. But it's also, it's not, you know, the passion's not there anymore. You know, everything is that instant gratification, like with social media. There's no long form anything. It's all, you know, and this is me coming from a diagnosed ADHD individual. The comedy is very, very quick ADD, back, boom, 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 boom stuff. And it's like, you know, that's good for a minute, but when we have an hour to kill, I'm over it, guys. And I want more, you know? I'd rather just watch somebody play D&D at this point.
Well, do you think, I mean, do you think the audiences are happy with the change either? I mean, you're an Austinite, you've been there. Do you, at least from my experience with live music here in St. Louis and in Springfield, where my dad lives, if you are a consistent gig. You consistently either put out new material and are playing your own songs and they're good, or you're consistently good at doing covers, 90%, maybe 10% your own music, like a lot of bands do that just gig at bars and things. I have never not seen a musical act that has at least your standard bass, lead guitar, drummer, singer, possibly rhythm guitar. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have that and they're good and they're consistent, they have an audience for 20 plus years that grows with them and follows them to bars wherever I've seen in every city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't see that in the same way with the stand-up communities I've joined. 90% of the time when I go to a stand-up comedy thing in the city, unless it is one of the very few places that's like, you know, we get popular folks and they're actually in a comedy club rather than in a larger venue, I find that they're never bringing in new audiences. They're just bringing in all of their friends who want to do open mic the next week. And
that's exactly
no one
what
else.
That is. Yeah.
How is that sustainable for the bars?
Beats me, man. That's why I'm frustrated. I don't get it. This is beyond me. I think I'm just now one of the, you know, live gigging old heads that I just want to put my drums on stage, brother.
I get it. That's a shame. Yeah. Quick hits. Best diner food in Austin.
Ooh, it's still Magnolia.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Best vinyl shop for your money.
Oh, God.
So for me, I'm gonna say Waterloo, but unfortunately they are moving. So I'm gonna go with Gut and say Waterloo. I love that record store. They still
walk around
and enjoy sifting through bins and bins and bins.
I was just going to Google, like, how many vinyl shops there are in Austin, and I don't know if I have enough RAM for Google Chrome to calculate that amount of information in this moment, so we're just going to imagine that it's more than a few.
It's a bunch.
Yeah. Hold on, guys. Did you guys see any movies lately? Any good movies? Anyone see any good movies lately?
The most recent movie I saw in the theater was Superman.
Oh, and how was it?
Barring some CinemaSins-style complaints I had in the third act.
I fucking love that show.
I don't. I actually don't.
You don't like CinemaSins?
Very
what?
Much. No, I liked the original Mission, and then he kind of digressed into, I'm going to be pedantic on purpose and like really nitpick the smallest things possible.
Well, I mean,
without any real like deep cinema knowledge, and that's a problem for me.
All right, well, we'll have to save that one for a later podcast.
And I was like, I feel like we're about to get canceled.
Basically, the point where I'm like, Superman, you have heat vision. Just use the heat vision. At any point, you could stop this by using the heat vision.
Okay.
And you know, there's. That's going to be a problem in any Superman movie because realistically, and then right. Superman just does Superman things and wins. I get it. But yeah. Otherwise, I quite enjoyed it. I thought James Gunn puts out a classic a classic version of the hero that feels more of the Silver Age 50s, a brighter tomorrow, a better world. The better tomorrow Superman seems embodied most with Corin Sweat as the lead. Rachel Brosnahan is hands down the best Lois Lane there's been. No question for me. There will never be a question. She walked as Ms. Maisel so that Lois Lane could fly. I also thought that this was easily the best Lex Luthor on screen, with slight apologies to Gene Hackman, who is a great actor who I don't know what he was doing as Lex Luthor.
Who was Lex Luthor in this
Ajax?
Isn't
the guy who played Ajax in the first Deadpool?
yes, Holt, Nicholas Holt.
Oh, Nicholas Holt. Yeah.
Yeah. He's sinister looking without the hair, in a way that, I don't know. There were several points in the film.
He reminds me of a Proud Boy recruit.
I thought he was about to do a school shooting or something.
Oh God.
He had that vibe, a menacing vibe that, was very well performed. Overall, I thought it was great. Good old time. Score is very good as well. And they feature some interesting villains to my mind. The ones that are beside Lex, if not for their characterization, which is pretty flat, but for the actual power set that they have, very cool. Sorry, that was longer than I think I intended it.
Fine. Beck and I went to a different movie recently. It was Top Gun. Or no, what? Naked Gun.
Oh yeah,
how was that?
Yeah, the new one. Yeah, that honestly, it hits the notes. Like, okay, it is a Member Berries kind of film where it's like, do you want, like, it has the same styles, but it is different too. And there is some absolutely kind of raunchy hilarity sort of comedy too that I don't think goes too far.
Oh, good.
But yeah, it's still kind of like funny. Just like,
just enough.
Yeah, it's like just like a constant knee slapper sort of thing. Like, yeah. For me, it didn't have me like rolling out of the aisle or anything, but right, it was still just like it put a smile on my face.
Oh, good.
And
I've heard it compared to Gremlins 2, where there's a slapstick joke a minute, and probably less than per minute. It's probably per second.
From
the description I got, very madcap, fast humor.
Yes, and I was gonna say it felt very familiar, and then I realized at the end, Seth MacFarlane was an executive producer or something on it.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, he's very good at kind of like transferring that, as you kind of mentioned earlier, John, like that old silver screen style kind of humor, or like, again, just kind of getting the same vibe. I mean, was there. It didn't Seth feel MacFarlane copied, but it felt like the same kind of vibe of what a Naked Gun movie should be was there.
Yeah. He understands nostalgia and arguably created the best Star Trek of the past decade by making a fan film called The Orville.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that I thought that was a TV Orville show.
Yeah, it was.
Fan film in the aspect of he's just ripping beats from Star Trek Next Generation left and right in ways that I'm like, well, I mean, you're basically barely doing this to try and have it be a commercial success. You're doing this because this is like your fan dream to create Next Generation again. And like, we need more of those projects. We need more people with a vision and money without a desire for profit to be the number one priority.
Well, hold on, guys. I brought up the, you know, good the movie thing because I wanted to transition into something that I think could be really, really cool and could provide us with some good discussion. And knowing the four of us, I have a feeling that we're going to come to a consensus immediately with this next question. What movie should not exist?
Whew. There's a lot of those, bud.
Mm.
Like, as a film that is an affront to film, as a film that is like, oh, it ruined this series by, like, what's your criteria? I
think, the criteria is whatever criteria you want it to be.
I mean, I don't think Rise of Skywalker should exist. I think one of the greatest abortions ever brought to film.
Oof. I will go say the Solo movie was worse because that, like, I fell asleep twice, went back to watch it again, also fell asleep twice in different parts of that horseshit of a part of my life I'll never get back.
Now, wait a second.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Your father.
Ooh.
Yes. Was this This was post having kids.
Oh no!
You saw this movie.
This came out before my boy was here.
Okay, then it counts. I was going to say, if you're a parent and you're falling asleep during movies, that's just normal behavior.
That's a rite of passage, baby. Come on, that's nap time.
You know, I mean, I was going to say,
I'm doing anti-parental discrimination.
Perfect. Like, you know, nice. It reminded me of what was it? The Attack the Clones. Gosh, as a kid, I would fall asleep in that. Like, as a teenager or whatever, I'd fall asleep during that movie.
It's incredible
so often.
That Attack of the Clone had a line like, you know, so this is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause. Like, the most vindicated a person has ever been as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Like, called his shot, home run, in the same film that has...
I hate sand. It gets everywhere. Yes!
All right. Okay, hold on. Those are all good submissions and very valid contenders. But I think we're all missing the movie that should not exist by definition.
Okay, tell us, Roy.
The last Avatar Airbender movie. The bullshit that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong came out with. That's the movie that should not exist.
I never watched it.
That's
up there with Dragon Ball Evolution and being the worst, the worst adaption that's ever been done.
I mean, Jordan, I'd add to that the Full Metal Alchemist live action movie that they made. Like, I think it's just one of those things that where it does not translate very well.
That exists.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It was so bad. I mean, like, props to the like actors and everyone who like did their best, but it's just like an amalgamation of different episodes just crammed together, and it's just terrible.
Let me make one quick amendment to my Dragon Ball Evolution hate. James Marsters gets a pass. He tried as Piccolo. James Marsters, you make Buffy the Vampire Slayer so watchable when I watch it with my girlfriend. You voiced Zamasu in Dragon Ball Super unpaid so that you weren't breaking union rules. You get a pass from me, but Dragon Ball Evolution did suck. No, Avatar The Last Airbender is a fucking terrible film, and maybe...
Oh, yeah.
Is that what finally made Hollywood go, okay, guys, let's stop giving M. Night Shyamalan films, please?
I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure he's still making films.
He had to go to really small budgets for a while. Mm. He basically was put into director jail for a while. Mm.
I hope
for being completely unprofitable.
I know I'm going to catch a lot of hate for this, and this may sink the podcast before it even gets off the ground. But
perfect.
I didn't mind.
Let's ride this.
Call me the unsinkable
like Bobby
Brown. Let's go.
I didn't hate the Star Wars prequels or sequels. I think they're just movies. Like, look. Hear me out. Okay.
Right. I will not hear you out.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's for me, sir.
I know. Look. And maybe it's...
John does not agree with the views stated on this podcast.
Maybe this is more of a reflection of, like, the film industry as a whole, what it is today. But my bar for being, like, what constitutes a, quote, good movie to me is, did it make me forget about life for a few hours and wasn't entertaining? If I'm constantly looking at my watch going, is this over yet? Like, then it's not... an entertaining movie to me. It's not a good movie. And if I can just kind of disassociate from life for a while, then I'm okay with that. And I can do that during the Star Wars movies. And that's fine.
Roy, you could describe the exact same thing by talking about pornography. It made you feel a thing. You forgot about your surrounding environment. Gotcha, wow, wow. Disassociated for a few hours.
Gotcha, wow, wow.
Hey.
What do you say, Dayton?
Bow chicka wow wow.
Bow chicka wow wow.
No, I just... I guess spectacle filmmaking has always existed and been a reason to go out to the theater. And I'll say this. I don't think Avatar, not Avatar the Last Airbender, but Avatar the James Cameron franchise.
The blue people, yeah.
The blue people.
Yeah.
The Na'vi.
Excuse me, you are correct.
Yeah. I long to be one with the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, but they're not anything original. It's Dances with Wolves, but blue.
I was going to say Pocahontas, but blue.
In space.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I will say, going and seeing that in the theater, it was a pretty remarkable thing for its time and the, just what animators were able to do and create, and the designs were fun. There's something to that. It's not like a Richard Attenborough documentary is a narrative experience that keeps me riveted, but I'm just watching beautiful images, and there are words that are soothing, and I find that nice. But I will say, if we want to continue having movies as an art form where Scorsese and Spielberg and Tarantino can make something that is going to be a lot of budget, going to be long, going to be a dark or, niche subject, the auteur should continue existing. And I do think the more that studios see, well, everyone just wants the spectacle, the less we will see of either new, interesting filmmakers or just flatly people who are willing to buck the system and just do things, make a mess, and dare them to reprimand them when the thing succeeds, because that was a part of older Hollywood, a more permissive structure, and there were probably downsides to that too, particularly with the behavior of filmmakers and directors, which has improved immensely compared to the insanity of Hitchcock and others back in the day.
Insanity? You mean forcibly tying crows to a woman where they were literally attacking her?
Yes. Whose granddaughter is...
That's low bar, honestly, in terms of his...
Was that Kubrick?
No, that is...
No, that was Hitchcock.
Wow. Yes. I know
Murder Kubrick of Crows or whatever.
Tortured Shelley Duvall on The Shining. That was...
Yes.
It's insane. Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about with... The studios.
Sorry, I have to cut in here. But apparently, was like exceedingly nice towards the kid who played Danny Torrance. Like, was always like super protective and make sure he didn't get scared on set and all that shit. So I think it's wild that he was so considerate towards the kid, but just hated Shelley Duvall.
Well, I think he hated women. I think Stanley Kubrick hates women, and that's
fair enough.
Sadly, that's something that's actually a through line with a lot of directors throughout history.
And we found the name of episode 2, Stanley Kubrick Hates Women.
Let's not have that be the direct title. I think we should maybe go with Hollywood Hates Women.
Okay.
I think it'd be better.
Fair enough.
Just naming one individual who has a lot more money and can litigate us to hell.
Is he still alive?
No. But I'm sure his estate would.
Yeah, absolutely. No.
No one that rich ever truly dies.
Right. Fair.
Money carries on like a pharaoh's tomb.
Yay!
how, I don't know, that was, I don't know what to say to that. It was equal parts profound and silly.
It felt aphoristic.
Oh God, there's so many fucking big words in this episode. What is going on, guys?
Not aphorisms. Me, all right? You, there's literally one person to look at for all this.
Yeah, listen, fair. Just fair. Because I'm loquacious and have an interest in lexicology does not mean that Roy, I don't know, have a good time.
You have a strong sense of syntax.
So hold on. Oh, wait, hold. Sorry?
You have a strong sense of syntax, my friend.
You know what? I do enjoy syntax. And hold on, guys. I think it comes from at least somewhat being from Missouri and having this need, especially when I went to college with a lot of folks from New York and other areas. I tried very hard not to feel like a bumpkin. And I was like a suburb of St. Louis, but like we're miles from just Missouri. So I want to ask you all, as folks who have lived primarily in the South, but who nonetheless have advanced degrees, very successful at various things, have you ever felt like there was some type of regional accent or just identifier you had that made others less likely to trust what you had to say or wonder if you were fully literate and smart?
Yeah, brother, I'm from Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Idaho. You're fucking kidding me, man. Like, I mean, heck, there's, and I would say there, yeah, I actually do remember, wow, this is an old memory. I used to also speak with a lot of big words when I was a little kid, but on the bus, I think I got teased a lot by some of the people who I was friends with on there. And they were like, why do you have to always talk with such a thing? I was like, I don't know, just it's how I talk. But yet, interesting.
So when we moved down here from New York, my mother and father,
New York,
my mother and father, talked a lot about like how, the Floridian accent is just weird. Like it doesn't sound right. So what I did was I listened to how they said particular words and I trained myself through just repetition and mindful, thought to say different words, more New York than I would like Floridian. So that I didn't sound Floridian because the implied, thing was that Floridians sound dumb. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It became, and I would turn it into like a game and like, well, how do you say this word? And I would just kind of repeat it ad nauseum over and over and over and over again until it just became second nature.
You know what I got shit for, and somewhat deservedly so, I would say. I feel like I've colonized this into myself. I said milk instead of milk.
Yeah, with an E.
Yes.
What?
And I also said egg instead of egg.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that I've learned are very upper Midwestern, but somehow St. Louis gets them.
Ah, okay. My wife
we also have farty far instead of highway 44.
Oh, okay.
And you enjoying your carn? It's a pretty regular statement I'll hear. Or you can talk like my grandpa and go on down to the feed.
Well, my wife, Katie, she's from Chicago, so she has like a bit of that Midwestern thing, but also a little bit of like the Wisconsin type of thing.
Yeah.
And I'll tease her mercilessly because she'll say 10, like number 10, and the tin, like the thing, the science thing with the God,
metal?
Like helium. What is that
mixing
called?
Mixing the amalgamation of two different metals.
Thank you. Yeah, the metal chart, you know, she'll say tin and 10 the exact same way. And I find that to be absolutely hilarious. But on this same note, have you ever said a word that you only ever read in a book or on paper, and it turned out to be way wrong, like when you said it out loud?
I'm certain there's a ton I still have that I'm unaware of. I'm actually not sure on this one, but I have always been confused as to whether it's ephemeral or ephemeral.
That's a good question, my friend. I don't know.
Someone in the audience, help us out.
Yes, comment below.
But
I think both work. I think it's like one of those things where, like, there's no real, like, only one way of kind of how of saying it.
Yeah, like, so yeah. I think it's like, it's just how you say it is how it's said.
Like regionalities, data. Like,
yes. Well, there's only one correct way to say the name of these. Cyborg from Star Trek The Next Generation, and that is Data.
Oh.
Just want to make that clear.
Oh, okay. Well, so actually I have well, I'm just going to open it up for more ridicule. So in undergrad, I said the word that's spelled A-R-C-H-I-V-E, but I said it archive, and and the guys were like, did you just say archive? I was like, yeah, and they're like, it's archive, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, oh, I've like never heard the word out loud in my life. I've only ever read it. So like, yeah, that's what I meant by like things that you've read, you know.
I'm trying to think of an example of that.
I don't have that. I do have something I got made fun of that was saying pronounce and enunciate the same time in one word. So it's like pronunciation. I used to say that sometimes. I think I would like replace pronounce with that. Like
something, a similar phenomenon. I have done the very stupid thing of writing for all intensive purposes instead of for all intents and purposes, that doesn't feel great.
I feel like that's more like if everyone around you is saying, you know, for all intensive purposes, and like you don't know any, like that's all you know, right? And then you go somewhere else.
I suppose. You know? I don't put it on the same level as irregardless, but
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's bad.
back to a regionality and a contraction that I have found myself doing this a lot as I've gotten older. I don't know if it's because I've stayed here for a while longer or just I went to Oklahoma and Florida for school and some of that rubbed off on me as well. I say y'all a lot at this point in my life and didn't think I was younger and could not stand it. But I actually think y'all is a fantastic contraction.
I have to agree. It's very convenient. But I still refuse to say the word.
It's not that you refuse. Your blood won't let your mouth make that word.
I can't bring myself to say it. It's like a visceral reaction. I literally had the conversation with a friend the other day where she was like, when y'all coming up here? And I was like, we will be up there to visit you guys. Like I made a point.
There is some old granny in the South who will make you the right cheese grits or jambalaya or pecan pie or peach pie, some kind of food-based delivery device to give you just a little touch of the South and allow you to say with vigor, y'all.
Like what I'm feeling in my heart, my inner Southerner is going to come out.
Come on, y'all. Yeah, let's head out. that sound fun? Come on, y'all, let's get on the jet skis. Doesn't that sound fun? Don't you want to just skinny dip in a lake?
It's funny you mentioned grits, because I had grits the other day at a quote diner, and it was like glue. And yeah, I was not a fan.
I said grits. That's a horrible. I actually listed lots of things I don't like because I'm actually not a real Southerner. I'm from St. Louis. I am not at all a true son of the South. But I don't know. I think New Yorkers, you've had your time being the cultural standard bearer. Let the Midwest lead the way for a little while. Chicago's great. We have some fantastic culinary traditions.
Putting cheese on it.
Great authors who reside in our varied and disparate climes.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to jump in here because you said culinary and Chicago in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. So... And Katie and I have talked about this.
Are we fighting
over lasagna versus pizza?
No. We're going to talk about Chicago deep dish, quote,
there we go.
Pizza, yes,
and
yes.
Normal pizza.
A baked pasta, if one would.
I cannot stand Chicago pizza, for the record. It's one of the most atrocious things I've ever consumed. And I've done this in Chicago. So for everyone that's like, you haven't had it. Yeah, I have. It ain't for me. It's more for you. Don't make me eat your crap. And also, I will defend grits. I love grits. With or without butter, with or without cheese. Fuck yeah, grits.
If grits are made good, then they're delicious.
I don't hate them.
I'm just meh.
Grits are a lot like oatmeal to me. I don't care how good you make them. There's an upper limit.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
To how much I will enjoy it.
Man, I couldn't afford to make grits taste good when I was little. It was you eat them or you're hungry. So I love me some grits.
Please. Hey, I had a lot of nights where it would be canned peaches and some kind of bread or something else. And
millions of peaches.
I love me some canned peaches and canned pears growing up. But now that I'm older and can get fresh fruit, it really does make a difference.
Hold on, guys. I actually had to introduce my wife to the peaches song recently.
Really? What is the peaches song?
Mario.
I know you just sang it. I have no idea. Yeah. Oh my god. It was a meme song before the memes. Like
pre YouTube.
Millions of and, peaches.
You know, it
peaches
was essentially how do I even explain it? It's just one of those like once it's in your head it stays there, but there was a line I saw this on Reddit. It was like how to tell whether or not you're an elder millennial. And it was like peaches were put in a can, and then I was like, okay, yeah, I clicked on it and I saw the comments, and always, just FYI, you always go to the comments in Reddit.
Always.
Those are like the best parts of a post, honestly.
Oh yeah.
But you know, and it's like they were peaches are put in a can, and the next line is they were put there by man in a factory downtown. So it is just a ridiculous, weird song about peaches.
This is by the Presidents of the United States of America?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the band.
Okay. All right. Well, I have it pulled up. I'll listen to it after.
You heard the song?
No, sir. I will go find it.
Oh my god! Ah!
I am so surprised to be the only other person who knows a song.
I am also surprised. Like, this thing was on the frickin' radio all the time back in the day.
If I may make a regression, actually, I was going to say digression, but I guess it's both digression and regression back to the pizza talk. I will proudly submit from some Chicagoans who forced me to drink Malort once.
I am so curious about that.
I'll Google it.
Have you ever smelled a cologne that feels like it was meant to troll you? Like, you smell it and you're like, no one could like this. And then someone else audibly smells it and goes, oh, that's fantastic. That's what I feel like when a Chicagoan opines about Malort, a liqueur that tastes more like burning garbage or what I imagine those penguins who get cleaned with Dawn soap after the Exxon Valdez has their spill.
That just cuts right through the grease there.
Just imagine that is what they distilled to create Malort. It's not good. It is worse than a licorice-based liqueur.
I
if they could create a tagline for it, it should be Malort. Tonight's the night you fight your dad.
Okay, I like that. In the spirit of that, I have known some Malort-swilling Chicagoans who defend their ridiculous hot dogs. Who will say with a straight face that the tavern pizza is actually more emblematic of Chicago style of pizza, and that they themselves prefer that to the deep dish? And knowing that from several people I know from Chicago being a true statement, I do think there is division within Chicagoans as to whether deep dish is the true pizza of that city. They're wrong. It is the cultural export and what we know it to be. And whether you believe it to be something different doesn't matter. Perception is reality to some degree. So deep dish is the pizza of Chicago. And this coming from a person who abandons and rejects St. Louis style pizza is inferior to New York and any number of other styles, including Detroit pizza, which is criminally underrated.
Yeah, Detroit pizza.
I didn't know St. Louis had their own style of pizza.
It's more of a Bali's kind of style of pizza.
It's not great.
So first off, I've had a Chicago dog
style of pizza. Really,
Chicago dogs are they're pretty good. All right, like I won't complain. Like it's pretty good. Sicilian pizza is the tits, and
I agree with that.
Like, I agree.
New York style pizza obviously reigns king. Yeah, but like I've had so many arguments with Chicagoans about like Chicago deep dish style pizza, and the conclusion that I've come to is you cannot classify that as pizza. That is a cheese pie. It's not pizza. It is a cheese pie with a tomato sauce on top. While the sauce is on top, that is the best approximation that I can come to for keeping the peace, really.
Your way of keeping the peace is by completely like trashing your other groups.
Yes, exactly.
Here, guys, I'm really a great person, but fuck those people over there.
I think that is disrespecting pizza. I'm fine with calling deep dish a style of pizza. It's fine. If someone prefers to call it a baked pasta or a pie with cheese, like a savory pie, whatever. I don't care about the classifications of food so much as that they're good. And I have had great deep dish pizza before. Like capital G. Even just the kind of standard bearer, Lou Malnati's in Chicago. I'll gladly have some deep dish. However, there's a limit to how much I have in a way that I don't have with other types of pizza. I can down a whole pizza if I allow myself to of most other things.
Right.
With a deep dish, it's not even so much just the number of calories I'd be inserting into my body, which would probably be more than the others, but also much like cheesecake, it's too rich and there's too much of it for me.
I'm sorry. Are you dissing cheesecake right now?
Yeah.
No, Roy, I'm not dissing it, but I can never finish a full slice of cheesecake.
All right. Fair.
I mean, you haven't been around me.
You pass it on my side of the table, homie. I got you.
I could devour an entire pecan pie.
Thank you.
Happily do so. But I would not finish the cheesecake. Same with this monstrosity of deep dish. It's just too rich for my liking.
So Roy, your significant other, she likes the, what is it again?
Deep dish?
Deep dish what?
Pizza.
Oh, a deep dish pizza. So it is a pizza.
Well, that's what it's called. Are we about to have the is cereal a soup? Is a hot dog a sandwich or a sub? And is cheesecake a cake conversation?
Before someone said hot dog sandwich. God damn it. Fuck you. We're hack already.
Yeah. It's a freaking pizza, it's okay. Why is it that we have to like hold something like gatekeep a food like that? It's fine.
Because there's nothing we can actually argue about anymore that won't cause people to get angry, so we'd use this as a substitute.
Damn it, that's too fucking real.
That's also why sports exist.
You're right. Let's go flip a bus and light it on fire.
Because politics don't exist anymore. Just rooting for a different colored team.
Oh, I completely disagree. Thank you very much. And speaking of which, then, that has now given me a new name, which I loved from Reddit, which was... just a sec. Let me make sure I get it right. Cankles McTaco Tits.
Yes. Fantastic.
That
is chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Is this like a new ship or satellite that was named in some misguided let the public vote on something?
Man,
what is
that'd
this?
Be amazing. Pretty much on a video blog somewhere. this is like a very recent high Reddit post. A woman was just going like, no, if you fucking, like, wanted to send everyone off to get into a fucking, like, alligator Alcatraz bullshit, then you do not get to go to a Mexican restaurant. You do not get to take part. Go to fucking Cracker Barrel and enjoy your food there or whatever. But she was like, no, you don't get to enjoy multiculturalism. And then she went on to call him... It was like a string of words, but the one that I loved the most, or just a section of it, was Cankles McTaco Tits. And that will forever just like that Robert Downey Jr. like expression of like, ah, yes, like, huh, I am just, I love it.
Antonio Banderas closing the laptop and pulling back in his chair gif.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All of that.
What a hunk.
Jordan, what is your view on this discussion about pizza?
Man, pizza should look like a Ninja Turtle took a bite out of it, and it is stringing in New York City. Like, that, to me, is a triangular situation. You eat with a hand. If you have the whole pie, God bless you. If you have one piece of it, you better have a can of purple soda with it. I'm not going to say grape because it tastes like grape. Tastes like the color purple, and it's 50 cents.
Preach.
That's like all I got to say. Gasta or whatever that non-no-name brand on, like guys. Soda.
is Vess, like, and other flavored based on like a fruit sodas the correct and proper pop and or soda to have with barbecue? Because this is a divisive thing amongst some Kansas City barbecue enthusiasts I know.
What's the brand?
Vess if you're
V-E-S-S?
V-E-S-S. That's right.
Yeah, no, in Texas we smoke meat and drink beer, brother. I'm gonna tell you, you don't have flavored soda. You eat your meat, you crack a beer, you move on.
You also don't believe in sauce on your barbecue.
Barbecue means smoking meat. If you have to sauce it, it's like putting A1 on your steak. You fucked up.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
or
sir.
Or you just like different flavors. Goodness gracious. People can enjoy things in different ways. You fucking monsters. All of you.
All right.
The episode that broke Dayton.
Let's talk. Barbecue. Everyone smokes meats well. Everyone smokes meats with wood and other ways to give it extra flavor. They do so at low temps for long periods of time. It is a known process. The thing that distinguishes regionalities is not usually the manner of the heat, the manner of the smoking process, and what woods are going into it. It's been much more based on the sauces that go along with it that are a part of that tradition. The things that bring out parts of those cuts of meat to make them more enjoyable, which is why we think of regional barbecues as being Kansas City, vinegar-based, Memphis, sugary.
But this is why we decide to make the barbecue
North Carolina,
not because it is easy, because it is hard.
Like, These are qualities that always get brought to the barbecue conversation that everyone agrees with, and Texas being the one group that's like, no, we disagree. Did you know we were a country once? Shut up, Texas.
Get your fucking electrical system back together.
Quit. Dumpty. Sometimes it's just better to join the rest of the group. It's the meme of like the guy being like, oh, did you know that sauce actually ruins meats? And everybody else goes, thumbs up, cool. It goes back to talking about their favorite sauces. So fuck you, barbecue doesn't need sauce.
Barbecue have sauce. It doesn't have to have sauce.
I agree,
Dave. Sauce conversation, because my favorite barbecue sauce is Sweet Baby Ray's, because it's delicious.
Okay. So that would be a Memphis style, correct?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It's a sauce.
You know what?
You buy it from the bottle and you put it on the meat and it tastes good.
Wait, did Bill Cosby do an unknown barbecue promotion after he finished with his pudding box?
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't want to have that.
This episode's never getting aired.
Oh, speaking of which, that was actually, I will ruin one joke that was amazing from Naked Gun, and that was someone being like, oh yes, do you like this wine? Yes, it's from the Bill Cosby collection. The person just spits it back out into the cup.
All right, amazing. Guys, so, I've learned Sweet Baby Ray's is actually from
Kansas.
Chicago.
Oh, no.
Really? I didn't know that.
All right. A Texas
it's just, like,
man
it's just made in there.
Barbecue. This
is. Let's remember, I'm a Floridian. I live in Texas. I'm not a Texan by any means, but my taste in barbecue is.
You live
Texas.
There. You're close enough by association. I don't know.
The taint.
Yeah. Right. Oh God. Oh God. Oh no.
So do you guys go for like regular barbecue sauce or like a spicy or a sweet or like what is your barbecue sauce preference?
Smoky always.
Yeah. Hickory, a hickory smoked flavored barbecue sauce is my favorite.
Yeah. Agreed.
If it's ribs, I like to do something that's got a sweet flavor. If it's brisket, I like to back off and have something more vinegar based. Not necessarily as sweet and less of it. Ribs, I will slather it on up. Brisket's different. If you wanted to argue with me that brisket should not be consumed without sauce, I'd hear out that argument because it has so many natural fats that, like,
it's juicy.
Okay.
Natural.
It's true.
They're all beef. They all have fats. I don't know why I said it so weird. Fams.
Yeah.
But anyways,
fams. Your inner Southern came out real thing. Hard.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't. I don't want to associate with that at all. Thank you. I'm a Union man through and through.
Yeah, well.
Hoorah.
I'm Missouri. I get to choose.
Do you want to, though? No,
I know which side I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm the side that listens to Pete Seeger unironically.
That's right. Now let me tell you, I don't know. So I gotta go do my laundry.
Alright. Well, we're gonna let you go do your laundry, and we're gonna give you a second. We'll be right back.